And Jerry, but other than that, we are so glad to see you this morning. Thank you for being here. We're excited to have you, and we are looking forward to a great service this morning. Thank you for coming out. For those of you who are joining us online this morning, thank you for being there. We are looking forward to you seeing the service and enjoying the service, but we're really glad to be able to meet today and looking forward to hopefully being able to meet now without obstruction for the foreseeable future. We are hoping and praying to that end. And so thank you so much for being here. We're glad that you're here. Let me share some announcements with you. Don't forget about Shepherd's Hand Care Ministry. We are still moving in that direction to help people. And so if you have someone who could stand a call or a text message or some other gesture of concern or love, if you'll get us that information, we'll get it to Ms. Angela and to Ms. Susan, and we will make that contact with that individual or family. Also, don't forget about, you can still access some things online. Todd is still sending out emails as needed. You can still visit www.lifepointtoday.net. You can also go to our Facebook page. All of those things are still accessible. You're still welcome to visit those. Also, really important, I mentioned this a couple of times, but I know when we're kind of distant, it's not easy necessarily to follow up on that. But if we don't have your email address, if you can get that email address to us, then we'll give that to Todd. And Todd, in the meantime, can go ahead and send out those email blitzes, and you'll be in the loop. Because a lot of times people tell me, well, what's going on, when Todd's already sent that email out. So if we don't have your email address, get that to us if you don't mind, and you won't get any spam. You'll get just church stuff. Spam you have to get at the post at the grocery store. That's right. And the spam will come from the grocery store. Thought you'd catch that. So anyway, keep up with the Facebook stuff and the website. Also, YouTube, of course, we still have a YouTube channel. And if you are watching the service from home or wherever you are, those services are up there indefinitely. So you can view those services anytime you want to or can. Our life groups, now, as you got the guidelines as you were coming in, hopefully you got the guidelines, we're going to try to practice social distancing. So for our greeting this morning, we're going to ask you to stand up and wave at each other. Anyway, we are going to practice social distancing. We're going to try to be responsible, but I'm really glad that we're able to meet. And so go by the guidelines as you see them there. You'll notice the offering plates are here and at the exits, and so rather than having people to pass the plate, you can just walk up and drop your offering in, or as you're on your exit, drop your offering in back there, and you can drop it in the box on the right back there, the prayer box. That's used also as our offertory today, but there is a plate over on that side too, and our elders will monitor that at the end of the service to help you with that. Also, youth groups, student ministries, things of that nature, we're going to hold off on meeting face-to-face for a while until we make sure that everything is good to go. Life groups, we're encouraging you, if you want to meet via Zoom, as our life group's been doing. And so, but let's just practice good hygiene and good care, and I think we're going to be great. Also, next Sunday, we had talked about our celebration Sunday. I've talked with our elders. We're going to hold off on that for a few weeks. We want to make sure. Most of you probably heard about the poor church out in Arkansas that tried to have a celebration thing to get back, and out of that came about 30 or more COVID cases and some deaths related to that. So we're going to err on the side of caution. We are going to try to have a celebration Sunday eventually, and we'll, when we feel like the time is better suited for that, we will make that announcement. So please disregard the service for next week. After thinking about it and getting some more information, we felt like we better wait on that at this point. And I'm sorry to disappoint you if you were looking forward to that. I know I was, but we will have a celebration Sunday. And to be honest with you, today is a celebration Sunday for me. I am so glad to see you guys. I've been thinking about it all week, and just praying that God would bless our day. And you know what? This is a good crowd. Do you like the seating? Do you like the way we got the seating? Yeah, no one likes Gina this morning. So if you will you wave at Gina? Let her know that you acknowledge her existence in the world. Okay, good. Gina, we love you, sister. Okay. So anyway, if there are some things that are coming up, graduation Sunday is going to be on June the 7th. So if you haven't sent the picture in of your graduate, please do so. So we can have that available on June the 7th as we celebrate our graduates. On June the 14th, we are going to have a concert by the Knoll Sisters. And then on the 21st of June is one of the most important dates of the year, right, Justin? That is Father's Day. So all of us as fathers expect some really nice gifts on the 21st. And we have that gift selection placed on the website for you if you need any ideas about that. Okay? All right. But man, are you glad to be here this morning? Let's give the Lord a hand for just allowing us to be able to meet this morning. And also, you know that today is Memorial Day weekend. And so in order to honor those who have given their lives for our freedom and our protection, we have a short Memorial Day video that we're going to share with you in just a moment. So if you will, let's bow for prayer, and then we'll observe our Memorial Day video, and then we'll have our call to worship. Let's pray. Father, we want to just thank you so much for the glorious day that you've given us. Lord, we are so happy to be here in church again. It seems like it's been forever since we've been able to meet. And Lord, as we've mentioned to several folks this morning, just want to hug them, but we know we can't do that right now. But Lord, we know that you can. And so, Father, we just pray that you just put your great big loving arms out around this congregation this morning, whether they're here in this building or whether they're at home and the other congregations all around the world, God, who are worshiping similarly like we are today. We just pray, Father, that we would feel embraced by the Spirit of God, that we would feel the overflowing of God's love and grace and mercy in our hearts this morning. And Lord, we're just anxious to worship you this morning because it seemed like it's just been forever. And so God, we just pray now that your Spirit would just be poured out, not just on our congregation here, but all congregations that are meeting. And Father, we particularly pray that your Spirit would be poured out over this nation. Lord, we need revival now more than we've ever needed revival in my lifetime. And so, God, I just pray that you would help pastors like me to take our calling seriously, that you would help churches like ours to take our calling seriously, and that, God, you would help us to be the salt and the light so that it will enable the Spirit of God to do his unfathomable work in the hearts and lives of those who need him the most. Lord, may we not be satisfied with just coming to church anymore. But Father, may you probe and pry us and excite us and exhilarate us to not just come to church, but to be the church. And so, Father, I just pray your blessings over this time this morning. God, may your presence just rest here in a glorious way. And God, may we just say it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord. Doesn't that sound good this morning? For we ask it in Jesus' sweet name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
I raise a hallelujah louder than my wings. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise, death is defeated, the King is alive. I raise a hallelujah everything inside of me.
Come on, church.
I raise a hallelujah. I watch the darkness flee. I raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery.
Here we go.
In the middle of the storm,
louder.
Sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder.
In the presence of my enemies.
Sing a little louder.
Louder than beyond belief.
Sing a little louder.
My weapon is melody.
Sing a little louder.
Amen. You can be seated. I want to read a Bible verse to you, and I want to make one more announcement. That's a thank you. Our Bible verse comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. You know, there's 16 chapters in the book of 1 Corinthians. Paul had a lot of problems to deal with the Corinthian church, and it took so many that he had to write another letter, 2 Corinthians, and some theologians believe there could have been a third letter that he wrote. But the theme verse of the whole book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, is found in chapter 15, verse 58. And listen to what Paul says, and what a tremendous thought and what a tremendous challenge his words are, not only to the Corinthians, but to us, particularly in these days in which we live. He says, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Man, that's precious, isn't it? And I want to just say this too. Most of you have been at home and you've been watching the services either on Sunday morning live as we've been streaming them, or you've seen them during the week. And I want to thank you so much for that. I look at the numbers, and usually there's well over 100, sometimes well over 200 people that have viewed our services. And it's a great blessing and an honor for that to happen. But what you haven't seen are the people behind the scenes who have been so tireless in working. And I want to just recognize those folks this morning. Todd and Nicole and Josh have been here every single Sunday to run the cameras. And Todd does so much during the week. We're sending out emails and keeping up with things with Facebook, our website, the church app, all of those different things. And I just want to give you guys a special thank you. You guys are awesome. Josh, I think you're back there. Thank you, buddy. Also, Miss Stephanie. Miss Stephanie has been here every single Sunday as well, running the computer stuff and making sure that the lyrics are on the screen so that you can sing along with them, and just posting the announcements and all of that back there. And so, Miss Stephanie, thank you so much for everything that you've done. And on a side note, Miss Stephanie is also our church treasurer, and she has done such an awesome job, because this isn't an easy situation. We've been encouraging you to give online, and a lot of you have, and we are so thankful for that. And you can still do that as you choose, but trying to keep up with that, and then other offerings that are mailed to her are brought in by those of us who have been here on Sundays. She's had a lot to keep up with. So Miss Stephanie, you're awesome. Also, birthday boy back there in the back, Elliot. Elliot has been here every single Sunday too. And Elliot Elliot had a birthday this past week. He's more handsome than he was at age 24. But Elliot has been here every single Sunday running sound for us, and he does an awesome job. And then these guys up here. I just want to give a shout out to these guys. They have been here every single Sunday. Now they haven't, and what's so remarkable is that they haven't been practicing much during the week because of all of the COVID stuff. But you wouldn't tell, you can't tell on Sunday mornings when they get up here and play. And I think that's just the anointing of the Holy Spirit on them. But I just want to thank you guys. You guys have been absolutely phenomenal. And I just love you guys. And so that's the shout out. And so they're going to do a song. We were going to have our offering. So if you want to get up and bring your offering up here or take it to the back, you can do that. But they've got a song for our offertory. Then they're going to go into their praise and worship set, then the message, and then we're going to get you out of here earlier today, okay? But God bless you for coming.
If you guys would like, stand up and join us for the next few songs. We're really excited about this next one. Most of you have been hearing it on K-Love or Contemporary Christian Holy Water. We're going to push JR's limits on this one.
So. I need to get a running start, y'all.
Holy. Ooh, y'all awake today. Y'all feel the spirit in the house? I do. My heavens, Lord. Ooh.
I don't know about you guys, but a lot of times I don't feel worthy of grace. And one of the last songs we're going to do is Amazing Grace. And I want you to listen to the words of this song. I know I mentioned that before, probably last time we've done this, but I won't get into the history of this song, but I was watching something on TV last night about the history behind this song. And it's pretty amazing if you listen to where this song came from. This morning, just give your hearts to God and let's listen to Amazing Grace and sing it.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Is that good worship or what? That's good worship. And aren't you thankful for God's grace? And you know, it is truly amazing grace, isn't it? I think as Justin said, I don't know about you, but I certainly don't deserve God's grace. Amen. I deserve hell, but I don't deserve grace. But thank God for his grace. Well, we're going to talk about risky worship this morning. Does that sound appropriate? It's not risky in the way that that we are talking about it with the COVID-19 stuff, but we're going to talk about risky worship as it relates to a particular episode that took place in the Word of God. Every time I read this story, I'm just blown away by so much of what Mary teaches us in this passage found in Mark chapter 14. And I hope I can do it justice because it's something that I think is truly remarkable and extraordinary. But let's begin by looking at Mark chapter 14, verses 1 through 9, and read along with me as I read aloud. It says, "Now the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread were only 2 days away." And the chief priests and the teachers of the law were scheming to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the festival, they said, or the people may riot. So think about the context here. Here are these religious leaders, and they are actively scheming, trying to find a way that they can arrest Jesus and kill him. That's what they want to do. They don't want to censor him. They don't want to try him and throw him in jail. They don't want to make him a public example in ordinary ways through smearing him on Facebook and Instagram and stuff like that. They want to kill him. They're after him. They're after blood. But sandwiched in between that and what happens at the end of this story is a beautiful display of worship. Because in verse 3 it says, while he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor. And they rebuked her harshly. Leave her alone, said Jesus. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly I tell you, whenever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Now, what's so amazing is because what you have here, this is, if you think about a sandwich, the peanut butter and jelly is this story of Mary. The two pieces of bread is that the chief priest and the teachers of the law are plotting, trying to devise a scheme to kill Jesus. And if you were to read verses 10 and 11, you will see then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priest to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted to hear this and promised to give him money. So he watched for an opportunity to hand him over. Isn't that amazing? So sandwiched between these two diabolical plots is a beautiful story of risky worship. Now, on a little lighter note, David had forgotten his wedding anniversary. And David's wife, Stacy, was irate, to say the least. Any of you guys ever forgotten an anniversary and lived to tell about it? So Stacy looks at David and says, I'm going to tell you something, buddy. When I wake up in the morning, I had better find something in our driveway that goes from 0 to 200 in 6 seconds. Do you understand me? So the next morning, David gets up extra early, and he slips out of the house, but he leaves a note for his wife, Stacy. And sure enough, as she goes to the bedroom window and looks down from her bedroom, she sees a beautifully gift-wrapped box right smack dab in the middle of the driveway. So she quickly puts on her robe and her slippers, and she runs downstairs, and she dashes through the door. She picks up that box. She brings it back into the house, and she opens it, and only to find a brand new set of bathroom scales. Zero to 200 in 6 seconds, baby. The interesting thing is that David has not been seen in 3 days. Now, can we call what David did risky worship? Not at all. We can call it risky business, but we can't call it risky worship. But what we see in Mary's life, what we see her doing here, can be called risky worship. Because Mary was one, if you remember, Mary was one of Lazarus' sisters. You remember Lazarus? In John chapter 11, Lazarus had died, and Mary and Martha, her sister, had summoned Jesus and said, "Jesus, can you please come? Our brother is sick," and Jesus delays. And so when Jesus gets there, Lazarus has already been dead and placed in the tomb for 3 or 4 days at this point. This is the Mary. And if you remember how that story unfolded, Jesus said, "Take me to his tomb, roll away the stone." And Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." And what did Lazarus do? He came forth. Because even death can't say no to King Jesus. And so that's the Mary that we see here in this story. And what I want us to look at today and next week or so, I want us to look at the characteristics of risky worship. We're only going to look at one this morning, but let's delve in. Let's jump in. I want to first of all tell you that risky worship is costly. Risky worship is costly. It cost you something to get here this morning. Wendy McCain, you back there in the back. It takes some time to get out of your pajamas and come to church, doesn't it? Yeah. A lot of us have been laying around the house and in our pajamas with our feet propped up in the recliner, watching Pastor Ray on the YouTube and waving at me, and I'm just oblivious. And so now it takes a little time to get ready in the morning. Some of you got your makeup on, you got on your best duds, you know, you're coming out this morning. It takes a little time to do that, but this is not what we're talking about when it comes to risky worship and costly worship. That's a whole different ball game. So let's begin by defining worship. Worship is an active response to God, whereby we declare his worth. Worship is not, catch this, passive. That's why when JR is saying, "Okay, church, let's go, let's sing." What is he advocating there? Passive worship or active worship? You see, worship is not passive, but is participative. In other words, we are to participate in it. Worship is not simply a mood. We don't wake up in the morning, I have a worship mood on this morning. No. Worship is not a mood. It is a response. It is a response to who God is. That's why we need to understand who God is. That's why we need to abandon the ideas of who we think God is or who people have told us who God is. We need to study the Word of God, and we need to come to the conclusion of exactly who God says he is that's contained within the pages of his wonderful book, the Word of God. So when we understand who God is, then it becomes a response. We understand that when we sing Amazing Grace, that we're singing to the God who looked at us, who looked at us in our fallen state, who looked at us in the degradation of our sin and said, "I still love you and I'm going to bestow my grace on you so that you might be saved." That's the kind of God that we serve. And when you and I think about that kind of God, how can it be anything but responsive? So worship is a response. Worship is not just a feeling. It is a declaration. It is a declaration of who God is, his grandeur, his majesty, his awesomeness, his brilliance, his glory. It is all of those things. So we would say in summary that worship is a verb. It implies action. So, if that's the case, and if risky worship is costly, then how is worship costly? First of all, it costs us financially. When you look at verse 3, you'll note that Mary has a jar, and Mark says that it is a jar that is an alabaster jar, and it contains very expensive perfume. So what Mary brings to anoint Jesus with is described as very expensive perfume made of pure nard. Now, we're not going to go into explain all that is. That's a great research project for you. But obviously, it was expensive, as Mary's onlookers criticized her for the extravagance of the gift by saying that that could have been sold, and the proceeds of that could have been as much as a year's wages that then could have been distributed to the poor. Now, I feel certain that Mary was just as aware of the worth of this perfume as those who criticized her. I don't think Mary was a naive person here who just grabbed something off the shelf that she might have had at home and hurried down to this man's house and began to anoint the Lord with what she had. I fully believe that Mary knew exactly what she had in her possession, and she knew exactly what she was doing when she anointed the Lord with this perfume. But I want to suggest to you that in Mary's mind, it didn't matter how much the perfume was worth. It didn't matter that this perfume was worth enough to pay a year's salary to an individual who worked in that day in Israel. I want to suggest to you that in her mind, there was no waste here at all. Because I also want to suggest to you that in light of what Jesus had done for Mary's brother Lazarus, what he had done for their family, and what he had done for her personally, that there was no gift or price too high to bestow on her Lord. When was the last time you thought about worship that way? Because as we do, there's three thoughts that come to my mind as I think about Mary's gift. The first thought that I want to suggest to you is that this gift was unsolicited by Jesus. You will never read in the text where Jesus asked Mary to anoint him with this perfume. You will never read where it was expected by Jesus that Mary would respond in this manner in her worship the way she did. This, I would suggest to you, was a gift of worship that Mary poured out onto Jesus. Not something that had been mandated, not something that had been required, but something that flowed from the inner resources of her heart as she looked at Jesus and considered who he was and knew what was coming. This was a pure act of worship. You remember as kids playing tug of war? I remember those days. What made tug of war real fun is if you played across a mud hole, right? And you remember tug of war, you had this big thick rope and you had teams on both sides of the mud hole, and then one team would pull against the other, and the team that won was the team that drug the other team into the mud hole, right? That tug of war game, that was the kind of thing that proved who you were, that you were just not a fat little kid like myself, but you were a hunk of a man who could pull on a tug of war rope. Yeah. Think about it today, though. For many of us as adult believers, that's the only way Jesus can get our best at times. By tugging at our hearts as we then battle him for what he is asking for. Let me ask you a question. Think about this with me for just a second. And we're not going to just kind of consider these questions in your mind. But why do we fight the one who loves us so much? Ever think about that? Why do we fight him? Why is it when Jesus says, Ray, I want you to do this, or Bonnie, I want you to do this, or Joe, I want you to do this, or Roy, I want you to do this? Why is it that we kind of pull back and say, but Lord, dadgum, I just don't know about that. Why is it that we fight the one who loves us? Why is it that we battle the one who only wants our best? You ever think about that? What kind of God would it be? And yet, if you think about how we respond to God, it's almost as if we don't really trust God, that God is going to get us something that's bad, or he's going to put us in a bad situation, and so we recoil from that. But can you imagine God doing anything that's wrong to you? I mean, seriously, can you, in your wildest dreams, can you fathom God being unjust to you, or God being hateful to you, or God being mean to you, or God deliberately harming you? I can't. But yet, that's how we act sometimes, isn't it? What I want to encourage you to do this morning is a part of risky worship. Give Jesus your best. Be like the little boy who gave Jesus the fish and the loaves that he had. You remember that? Remember that miracle where Jesus took those few fish and those few loaves of bread, and he blessed them, and he broke them, and he multiplied them, and they even had leftovers. That's what I want to encourage you to do this morning. Look at this Jesus as he says, give me what you have. And a lot of times we look at it and say, well, I don't really have anything to give Jesus. Yeah, you do. You. He doesn't want your car necessarily. He doesn't want your house. He wants you. Because here's the secret of stewardship. Here's the secret of sacrifice. Here's the secret of worship. If Jesus has me, he's got everything that I have already. Jesus wants us to present ourselves to him as a gift so he can bless it. And if need be, break it, but not break it in a harmful way, but break it so he can multiply us. And by multiplying us, he blesses others in our lives. So the first thought about Mary's gift is that this gift was completely unsolicited by Jesus. Here's a second thought I have about Mary's gift. This gift would never be reclaimed. Think about this for just a second. Mark again tells us in verse 3 that Mary, what does it say? Broke the jar. She broke the jar and poured out the perfume on Jesus' head. Now, I find that interesting. And maybe you as a housewife, or a mom, or a wife, maybe you find that to be somewhat interesting too, because in our world, if I take a jar of pickles or something out of the, remember we're having hamburgers, and Gina says, can you grab the pickles? Yeah, here we go. Why'd you do that? Because we're going to eat all these pickles. No, we don't do that. What do? We take the jar of pickles out of the refrigerator, and we open the lid, we get out the pickles that we want, then what do? We close the lid, put it back in the refrigerator, right? Why didn't Mary do that? Ever wonder why? Why did Mary choose, instead of just opening the lid, pouring out the perfume on Jesus and anointing him, and then close the lid? She might want to use that jar for something else. But she doesn't. She breaks the jar. Mary's act of worship, I will suggest to you, illustrates that this was a gift that she would never try to reclaim. Mary didn't have the mentality that I'm going to hedge my bet here. Just in case this Jesus really doesn't turn out to be who he says he is, just in case I run into financial hardship down the line, Mary didn't hedge her bets by keeping some of the perfume back for herself so that she could sell it if she needed some quick cash. What we see in Mary is that she gave her all. In Mary's heart and in Mary's mind, there was no turning back. She laid it all on the altar of worship. And she wasn't looking back over her shoulder, pining that she had done that, regretting that she had done that, psychoanalyzing whether she had done that or not, regretting that she had done that. She laid it all on the altar and she walked away. Because she says that worship has been given to God, and it will never, ever be reclaimed because my God is always worthy of my best worship. Think about this. I don't know about you, but I've done this. How many times have we taken something and said, Jesus, oh, Lord Jesus, I'm going to put this on the altar. I'm going to lay it down, Lord Jesus. What do? Don't we do that? Mary didn't do that. Mary, when she broke that jar, she says, there's no turning back. She was probably aware that people would castigate her, criticize her, alienate her, but it didn't matter. Because Mary was there to worship, not to win friends and influence people. She was there to worship. Think about what Jesus has done for you and me. For some of you sitting in this room this morning, he has saved you from your addiction. Some of you were alcoholics maybe, or heroin addicts, or meth addicts. And you're not there anymore. You know why? Because Jesus redeemed you from that. Some of you, God has saved you from lust. And the reason that we're not there anymore is because God has redeemed us from that. Maybe God has healed your body. Maybe the doctor looked at you and says, I'm not sure about this one. This one's kind of touch and go. This one's kind of sketchy. I'm not sure about this one. And yet King Jesus came and not only restored you, he healed your body. Is he worthy of your worship? Some of you, he's freed from depression and fear and anger and resentment and bitterness. Some of you, he's taken that bondage away from you. Some of you, he's taken those chains with his mighty arms and his mighty hands, and he snapped those chains in two, and he said, you're free. Why are we going back to that same old lifestyle? So the question we have to ask is this. What sacrifice is too costly to give to Jesus after all he's done for us? Can you imagine of anything that Jesus would say, hey, give me? Or the Holy Spirit would impress upon us to just give as an act of worship. Can you imagine looking at the Holy Spirit and saying, oh, well, that costs a lot there, Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, that's kind of special. I can't let go of that. In light of everything that Jesus has done. But the final thought about Mary's gift. Not only was it unsolicited, not only will it go unclaimed, but this gift symbolizes her brokenness. I want you to think about the jar with me again. What kind of jar do you picture containing the extraordinary gift that Mary poured out on Jesus? Ever thought about the jar? That kind of gets lost in the story, doesn't it? But the other day I was thinking about, well, what kind of jar would it be? And in my mind, I pictured something beautifully ornate. I picture something maybe that was delicate. I picture something that in Mary's mind was something fit for a king. Again, perhaps it was a delicate jar. Perhaps it was passed down as a precious heirloom from Mary's grandmother, great-grandmother. Maybe some of you know what that's like. You have maybe china, or you have serving dishes, or you have pieces of glassware that maybe your parents or grandparents or great-grandparents have passed down to you. And you look at those things and you say, that's something that I display on my shelf or in my curio or in my china cabinet, because that's something that's special and that's something that doesn't get used often. And so that's something to be protected and valued and guarded even. And you may ask, well, Pastor Ray, why are you spending so much time talking about a jar? Because the jar is us. Because no matter how beautiful and no matter how ornate, no matter how delicate, no matter how precious we may be, or think that we may be, we're still just a jar. Have you ever noticed the amount of time that we put into our jars? We exercise our jars. We put makeup on our jars. We put the best clothes that we can afford on our jars. We educate our jars. We certainly feed our jars. But at the end of the day, you know what we are? We're jars. And just like Mary's jar, we're broken, folks. We're broken. Have you ever met a jar that wasn't hurt at some time in their life? Have you ever met a jar who hasn't cried? Have you ever met a jar who wasn't jealous at some point in their life? Have you ever met a jar who wasn't angry or frightened or proud or ashamed? And as I get older, mortal, you see, regardless of what kind of jars we are, and if you look at that list of attributes, that fits every single one of us at some point in our lives, and maybe some of us where we're sitting right now, that describes us, but we're jars. But I don't say that to cause you to despair. Because the lesson, the valuable lesson that is found in we being jars is that we need to pay less attention to the jar and more attention to what's inside the jar. And you may not be tracking with me. Because some of us are like, oh yes, yes. I'm a lovely jar inside. I'm so kind. And I'm polite. And don't forget, humble. And don't forget, loving. And we look at our jars inside and we say, oh, that's so redeeming to think about all those nice things in my life. That's not where I'm going with it. Paul reminds us of where we need to go with it. Paul, in a moment of transparency, as the entire book of 2 Corinthians is. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, Paul says this, catch this, but we have this treasure. Oh, now that piques my interest, doesn't it you? What treasure? My kindness? My humility? My love? My affection, my courage. Is that where Paul's going with this? Mm-mm. When he refers to treasure, Paul is referring to the Holy Spirit's presence in your and my life. He's referring to the glory of God. He's saying, guys, don't forget, we have this treasure. But notice where the treasure is contained. Not in a bank vault, not at the Mint, not at Fort Knox, not at some underground bunker. But where did Paul say this treasure is kept? Where is it housed? He says it is in jars of clay. Guess who the jars of clay are there, y'all? Us. We're the jars of clay. You know why he mentions clay? Because that was the most common. And if you've ever had a clay jar, you know how easily they break. And so Paul reminds us, you and I, we are depositories for the glorious presence of the Holy Spirit. And we are containers to this glorious person of God who dwells in us. And he dwells in us as clay jars. Not what I would depict as a proper dwelling place for a king. But then he says, why? We have this treasure in jars of clay. For what reason? To show that this all-surpassing power is from God. And not from us. The reason God chooses to dwell in your clay pot, and some of you probably think, I'm married to a crackpot. The reason that God chooses to dwell in your clay pot, in your crackpot, is because he wants people to see not you, not me, he wants people to see him through us. cracks and all, brokenness and all, shame and all, regret and all. Paul says it is a glorious thing to be the depository of this great King, because through you, His power and His grace and His love and His majesty and His all-sufficiency radiates out through you. You can go out today and say, I'm thankful that I'm a crackpot. I'm thankful that I'm a clay pot. I'm thankful that I can be broken and yet still be valued and used and cherished by this great God. I'm thankful for that. But can I be honest with you? And some self-disclosure. You know what my problem is? Is that this jar named Ray tries to repair his own hurt, dry his own tears, resolve his own jealousy, anger, fear, pride, shame, and mortality. And you know what I need to do? You know what I need to focus on? I need to focus on the glorious presence and glory of Jesus, who has the all-surpassing power that's needed to repair what's wrong with me. And I'm a therapist, you know that. But therapy ain't going to fix everything. Quarantining ain't going to fix everything. Social distancing isn't going to fix everything. Vaccines aren't going to fix everything. Only Jesus, with His all-surpassing power, repairs and heals and restores. You see, as long as we try to repair our own jars, Marcus, when he was a kid, he was the most creative guy I've ever seen with duct tape. And I used to, he hasn't changed a whole lot. But you know, you can't fix it with duct tape. You can't fix it with glue. You got to fix it with Jesus. So as long as we try to repair our own jars, we're never going to know and enjoy His all-surpassing power. It's only as we realize that we are clay jars that the power of God is revealed, and we find joy, and we find worship with abandon, costly worship, risky worship, but fulfilling worship. As we close, would you pay attention to the video as we focus on worship?
We come into this world seemingly whole, complete, and reliant on ourselves. But in reality, we're simple jars of clay, fragile beings living in a sinful world that get cracked over time until finally something breaks us. When we surrender our hearts, our will, our broken pieces to God, He takes those broken shards of our lives, those jaded and seemingly unusable parts, and slowly over time, God puts them back together. It's not a quick fix. It's not easy. Sometimes it's quite painful, but the end result is a beautiful yet broken vessel that the light of God shines through for all to see.
you pray with me? Father, we just thank you so much for your word. And thank you for the powerful reminders we've heard today from our praise team and from your word. And God, we just pray now that you would make us humble before you, that you would help us to understand that we are broken, but we're beautifully broken, and that God can use our brokenness to show his all-surpassing glory. God, speak to our hearts now, for we ask it in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe this morning you would say, Pastor Ray, you know what? I'm not certain that I'm a Christian. I'm not sure that I have Jesus Christ living in my heart. But I'm concerned about that. And I really want to invite him into my life. And if that's you this morning, I'm going to ask you to just slip your hand up and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? We're not going to come to you. We're not going to embarrass you. But you might say this morning, Pastor, I'm not certain that I'm a Christian. But I need to know, and I want to ask Jesus to come into my heart. Would you pray for me? Is there anyone like that over the room this morning that would say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I want to make absolutely certain that I'm right with God. Anyone over the room? Perhaps you would say, Pastor, the Lord has spoken to my heart this morning about worship, about just giving my all to Jesus, not looking back, not taking it back, not counting the cost too much, but just giving it to him, giving him everything and walking with him. And God has spoken to my heart this morning. And he's indicated in my life some things that I need to do this morning to be different. And would you please pray for me? Would you slip your hand up? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. So many of you. Bless your heart. Now here's what I'm going to ask you to do. What we're going to do, if you need to come to the altar, we're going to have some people to work with you. But we're going to go to a different place in the building so we can maintain the distance safely. But if God has spoken to your heart, as our praise team leads us in our invitation, I'm going to ask you just to make your way to the altar, and we'll have some folks that will come and pray with you. But as our praise team leads us, would you come? Miss Susan, would you come as well and be ready? But if God has spoken to your heart, I'm going to ask you just to come and let God minister to you this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming this morning, guys. We love you. Thank you for coming. Be careful out there. And we look forward to seeing you again next Sunday, or if not in person, on our YouTube channel. Don't forget, next Sunday, the Celebration Sunday has been delayed. We're going to do that later at a later date, but not next Sunday, in case you missed that announcement at the beginning of the service this morning. I'm going to ask our elders, guys, if you will, if you can be back there by the doorways and letting people out. Don't forget to grab the sanitizer on the way out. Get you a squirt under your arms, goggle with it, whatever. No hands. But don't forget that on the way out. So if our elders, if you guys can be ready for that, we'd appreciate it. All right. Well, let's just.